You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So, I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
My advice to everyone out there who's frustrated, sad, angry, pissed off, feel those emotions, go to a kickboxing class, have a margarita, do whatever you need to do this weekend, and then wake up on Monday morning, we got to keep fighting.
Haven't you guys been doing that the entire time? I mean, I think you have. Good grief. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I'm so excited. It's Friday. We made it till the end of the week without Biden getting us into World War III or anything else. He showed up to breathe. I would appreciate credit on my lines, by the way, from satire sites. Yeah. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Good to be with you. Always. I am really feeling myself today. I just want to let you guys know. I am super sassy and bratty. It's not even leg day, but still. I can't wait for our interview because we have Dr. Robert Malone on the show a little bit later. And I can't wait for our interview to be removed again from Facebook because the glorified digital baristas at Facebook really hate him. Yeah. And do you know that one of the portions of the video that they had actually removed from Facebook was when he was discussing how mRNA works? And Facebook said that the guy who is the... And he's listed as he is the co-author of the patented. He also co-owns a patent because he's one of like, what, three inventors of it. He worked with other doctors. They invented it. That's how. So, yes, it's completely accurate to say that he's the inventor of mRNA tech and he holds a patent on it. One of the digital baristas at Facebook decided that was disinformation. The guy who created it talking about it. And they removed the video.
He holds multiple patents, actually.
Well, I know, but I'm specifically talking about this one, not the other stuff. Because there's a bunch of other crap that I don't even know and I don't care about because it's not mRNA stuff. But on this, it's related, but like this literally says, hey, guys, this is the mRNA original tech. He owns a patent on it. It's listed at USPTO. All of the brain dead, all of the zombies out there in legacy press, it's amazing that they don't know how to go to USPTO and actually look stuff up, but whatever. You know, I mean, I don't know. So... he's going to be on the show later, and I just can't wait because it's going to be totally deleted off Facebook. I'm not going to tell you what I would love to say to the glorified digital baristas with less education than me that work at Facebook. Oh, I'm really... you guys know this. They have less life experience than you. They know less about private business in the real world than you do. But they think that someone nominated them King You-Know-What of King You-Know-What Mountain... and they think that they're going to be they're the arbiter of what you can or cannot see. I really have a problem with someone who doesn't know what a boy or girl is determining what I can see and what I can't see as it relates to making my own assessments about what risks I want to take or don't want to take. So y'all can eat my shorts. Mm-mm. So there we have it. So we're going to start out that day that way. I told everybody on Twitter this, although I started the morning not being able to see any Twitter responses because they suck also. I mean, seriously, how sucky is your life? I think that people who, if you are calling for censorship of other people, and I see leftists do this all the time, if you're like, oh, well, I don't think that they should have a platform. No one gives a rat's ass what you think. It's not up to you to determine who gets a platform or who doesn't. It's not your decision, Cynthia. God didn't create the world and rest on the seventh day so that it could cater to you, Cynthia. That's not how this works. You don't get to make a determination for what everyone else sees, what everyone else reads, what everyone else listens to, what everyone else is exposed to. It's not up to you. That's the difference between people who are liberty-minded and people who cannot not leave the side of Uncle Sam. They hold on to those apron strings. Now, one of the things happening today is the March for Life in D.C. And they're streaming it on all of their websites. There are a lot of people who go out to this every single year. And they're good folks. And you're not going to see anything about it on any like network news. You'll see stuff about it on Fox, but that's about it. You won't see it because they don't want to talk about it. I wouldn't be surprised if they go, look, it's another insurrection or say something like that. Cause that's what we call every peaceful protest with which you disagree now, regardless of whether or not there's any, you know, people who break away to engage in shenanigans. Speaking of which, I know they're doing some J6 stuff today. I'm tired of letting them lead what I care about and what I pay attention to and what I don't pay attention to in the news cycle. Do you guys get the same feeling? I don't care about January 6th. It's nothing. It doesn't. I think that the people blowing it up are ridiculous, and the conservatives who are blowing it up because they're so desperate for bat packs from CNN or MSNBC. The conservatives who blow this up are conservatives who can't get hired at Fox News, so they want to go to the JV ranks of CNN or MSNBC. That's God's honest truth. That's how this works. If they can't get a contributorship at Fox, then they cross their fingers and they kiss Jeff Zucker's ass and they hope that they can get a contributorship there. True story. Where am I wrong? I'm not. It's true.
Welcome to Friday,
everybody. That's a true story. That's what they do. I can't tell you how many people do this. They clamor to get hired on at some of these D-list or cable networks so that they can be shelved as a contributor. Do you know that there are actually other contributors that have been hired at CNN, not MSNBC, but at CNN that are conservatives, but you don't see them because they're shelved. They have an exclusive, so they can't do anything else. And then CNN's like, oh, I'll sign you for like $75,000. You go ahead and give me your whole life. I'll sign you. And then I'm not going to put you on air and you can't go anywhere and we're going to ruin your career. And a lot of these conservatives are like, okay, I'll do that. As long as I get to say I'm a CNN contributor on my Twitter bio. That's what they do. Sometimes I hate this industry. I really do. I absolutely hate this industry. When we had our Christmas party, my oldest son, who is in college and he's going to law school, someone asked him, they were like, are you going to go into commentary, similar to your mother? And my son kind of gave me a look because I hate this topic. I hate this topic. I've always told him before, I'm like, and he knows exactly where I am on this. I think you haven't lived enough. I love my child, but there's no way in hell I would listen to your opinion on anything. Are you kidding me? You don't even know how to properly do a permanent press cycle. Come on. Like, you think I'm going to, you know, God love him. He's super smart. But I'm not one of those people who tries to be like, I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. And that's what a lot of these like old crackling kind of Captain D's, you know, what do they call them in Britain? They call them like the bits or something like that. I don't remember. Right. That's what they always act like. That's what they act like that for relevance. No, I think it's dumb. So my son was asked this, and he just kind of looked at me, and the person who asked kind of looked at me, and I go, what kind of question is that? I'm like, commentary is not a family industry. It's not a family industry. You go out and you make your own way. The end. Why should I listen to someone else just because, you know, Goldberg? Why should I listen to somebody else just because they came from the loins of someone more famous? I mean, it's just stupid. Stupid. I'm not mean on that. One of my friends is like, don't you think that's a little harsh? Did I ask you, Cynthia? No, I mean, no. For real. No, I'm not. Make your own way. Don't you find it that you want to listen to people who like live the life? The left always sits here and talks about these lived experiences. All their lived experiences are borrowed. They're a bunch of catered to elitists who are upset over the goofiest things. Like I wrote this thing about the M&M thing last night. I actually ended that piece. I deleted a couple paragraphs off because the more I wrote about it, the angrier that it made me. It is such an embarrassment. It is such an embarrassing statement of riches to be upset over things like, I don't feel like my candy represents me. That is such an embarrassing first world problem. I cringe. That's like standing in a starving village and going, I'm starving. Do you know that happened to Chris Martin with Coldplay one time? He was in, they literally were in Africa and they were doing aid work. And he was in a village of where people were dying of starvation and famine. And he just like said casually, oh man, I'm starving. When's lunch or something like that? And then he realized he had his self-awareness kicked in. It was all yellow. He's like the American Oasis. All right. So Biden's approval hits a new low. How many days am I going to come out and be like, guys, there's a new poll that's bad. Just assume every poll now is bad. This is from Associated Press. Business, health, inflation, it's all bad. But here's what I'm most interested in. Do you remember the story, by the way, that I had for you the other, what was it? Was it yesterday? Where we were talking, the day before yesterday, we were talking about White House visitor logs, right? So here's one of the reasons why people are asking for these. Secret Service apparently hid the details of Hunter Biden's overseas travel to China, Russia, Kazakhstan, according to some Republican senators. I want to know if they've ever entertained any business at Joe Biden's Delaware house. I think that's fair to ask, don't you? So Biden, how dare you just gossip about Joe Biden's baby child, his 50-something-year-old baby child? Hunter Biden was granted Secret Service protection while his dad was VP from 09 to 17. And he went, this is something that was brought up from Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley is known to tweet about deer and to be not conspiracy-minded. They want documents relating to his travel, and Secret Service isn't giving him a whole heck of a lot. Everything is heavily redacted. And they're like, why is the travel for the son so redacted? This is weird. It is. It's incredibly weird. Don't you think so? Because he decided, because Hunter Biden left his Secret Service bodyguards when he flew to Kazakhstan. He was pursuing a deal on behalf of Burisma. That's where the guy who didn't know anything about energy sat on the board of an energy company, and he got $50,000 a month just because he was Joe Biden's son, because they were merching out the VP's office. He was going to meet with the prime minister of Kazakhstan at the time, Karim Mazumov, and Mazumov got arrested on treason charges last weekend. He was trying to make that money using the VP's office. There's a lot of this stuff related to travel and him leaving, different Secret Service agents behind so he could go and do these deals. Yeah, I think it's incredibly important that we know this. Now, to point out, you had Hunter Biden, who is 50-something years old, who got Secret Service protection. George H.W. Bush, of whom I am not a fan. None of his five kids, who were younger than Hunter Biden at the time he was in office, none of them received any kind of Secret Service protection, just to point that out. Do you guys know that? I was curious about that, so I went and looked it up. None of George H.W. Bush's kids, when they were younger than Hunter Biden was at the time, not a single one of them got all of the Secret Service protection, like the way crackhead, screwing around with prostitutes, making babies with exotic dancers, Hunter Biden did. Yeah. And in fact, the George W. Bush's daughters only had it for a short time when they were teens in high school. And then they didn't receive it anymore afterwards. And that was when he was president. Crazy. Yeah, I have a lot of questions about this. So some other stuff that we're going to explore today, because we have, not only do we have Dr. Robert Malone on the show today, but we're also, he's like right here in my hood. This guy, Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, he's going to be joining us. We're gonna talk to the doctors today and just get banned on all the things. I am a giant foam middle finger to Facebook, Meta. I hate everything. This year, Valentine's Day is as easy as a kiss. Keep it simply soft with loungewear, pajamas, and underwear from Tommy John. Give a gift of Tommy John loungewear, soft tri-blend and micro-modal fabrics with four-way stretch, so they'll keep feeling the comfort and love all year long. And when the loves in your life are wearing Tommy John, they're that much more comfortable, so they can do everything better. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics who call Tommy John lounge joggers, quote-unquote, buttery soft and the best pants ever. With over 17 million pairs sold, Tommy John's made couples across the country comfier than ever. Let them do the same for you, your Valentine, and everyone on your gift list. Plus, there's no risk. Every gift is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Keep it simply soft with loungewear, pajamas, and underwear from Tommy John. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, hey, U.S. jobless claims rose to 286,000, the highest since October. Works. It's true. Let's go, Brandon. Yay. Also, CIA chief made a secret visit to Europe ahead of Anthony Blinken's trip. So there's a lot of discussion about Russia, and Russia's being shady and building up troops and talking about invading Ukraine, although Joe Biden doesn't think that's ever happened before. 2014 apparently didn't exist. But William Burns, who's a CIA chief, he quietly visited Berlin and Kiev days ahead of Anthony Blinken's arrival in the region. Kind of interesting. And he was dispatched as part of their efforts to persuade European nations to rally around a tougher response against Moscow. Do you guys remember when I said that it's going to be really hard to make Germany agree with the United States in the dead of winter when they rely on Russia for their energy through the Nord Stream 2 pipeline? You do? Oh, I'm not going to say that I told you so, but I'm going to let me not telling you I told you so and telling you that I didn't tell you I told you so suffices it. I'm just going to let that stand. All right, so moving, I warned you today. Peloton, the maker of crappy bikes and crappy treadmills. It's a bike with an iPad staple to the front. Let's be real. And you have two hyper, and they're fake happy, and I can't stand it. I'm pretty sure all of them are popping anxiety pills before they sit on in front of the camera. They're halting production of their bikes and treadmills because demand wanes. Do you know why? Because nobody likes bicycles. Nobody likes bicycling. And people hate bicycling inside a room in their house even more than they hate bicycling outside of the house. I don't know if there's anything that I hate more than bicycling. If I have friends who are bicyclists, and I don't make fun of them to their faces as a courtesy. We have a lot more coming up, including we got to teach Juan about my grandma's rule of three because Meatloaf's dead. And he's apparently a conservative. He was a conservative. Yeah, I think so. We're going to talk about that more. Stick with us. The Caltech's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Caltech launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Caltech continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Caltech believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Caltech firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Caltech's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Caltech firearms by visiting KeltechWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KeltechWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Caltech. Caltech, game-changing innovation and performance.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
My whole mission in Congress is about the children, for the children. As you heard me say, you're in the arena. You have to be prepared to take a punch. You have to be prepared to throw a punch for the children.
Throw a punch for the children. What is up with Democrats today? First, Jen Psaki's like, go out and if you're mad at us, have a margarita and do some kickboxing and then go back to work. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. We've made it till the end of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It is I, Dana Lash, sitting behind the platinum microphone. And we were playing Dallas's own Meatloaf just then. I was very confused as a child because I never understood why he named himself after meat pretending to be bread. I wondered, and I always also wondered, what was that that he would not do? Tis a secret he has taken to the grave, because Meatloaf, a.k.a. Michael Leoday, born in Dallas, Texas, has passed away Sad news. At the age of 74, he was only 74. Right. 74. But now here's the other thing. People are like, it's from COVID. Did he have COVID? This is one of those questions. Is it from or did he have it? Was it from COVID or with? That's what was it? Rochelle Lewinsky had asked. CDC director. His manager, Michael Green, confirmed that he passed last night. He was supposed to have attended a business dinner earlier this week, but the dinner was canceled because he caught the coronavirus. Now, he had, here's the thing, he had every comorbidity. Can we be honest? And I don't know if he was, I think he may have been a conservative, I'm not quite sure. But I do know that he was overweight, he had heart disease, he had had a lot of stuff. He had lost a lot of weight towards the end of his life. He even went vegetarian in the 80s. He tried to be vegan, but he was like, yeah. He goes, there were vegetarians who would not speak to me because of my name. Apparently, Katie Lang was one of them. She wouldn't speak to him because because his name was Meatloaf, which is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, but okay. Now, here's why we're bringing this up, because, I mean, it's, you know, it's huge. However, and I just saw a picture of Adam Lambert on the side, and I don't understand what that's about. It's like I just saw someone who's playing a pirate on a Disney ride. So I'm going to get to the other stuff, but it's Friday, so we're a little cash on Friday, right? It's casual Friday. For those of you who have listened to the program for a long time, you know that I come from a very colorful family. And my grandmother, God rest her soul, don't haunt me, had this, what she called, and well, I don't know if she called it this, we all did, the rule of threes. She had all these weird superstitions. And one of them was that everybody dies in threes. Celebrities all die in threes. And I was telling Kane and Juan and Steve on break, my grandmother, there was no greater Elvis fan than my grandmother. She would go to Graceland once a year and take pictures of the same stuff. She had photo albums upon photo albums every year. I'm talking like decades, okay? I'm one of like 20 some odd, almost 28 grandkids. Yeah, big family. She had more pictures of Elvis in her home than grandchildren. There was a velvet Elvis in the bathroom, across in the toilet. I'm just saying. It's, you know, she could tell me everybody, all the other two deaths that were right. He was one of three. She had this rule of three. You'd be listening to the news and she'd be in the kitchen and you'd hear celebrity death and she's like, two more are going to go. Like, she was the omen of death. Two more are going to go. And they always did. So Kane and I were talking about this. Now, you have Meatloaf. Well, first off, you had Betty White, Bob Saget, Sidney Poitier, Meatloaf, and Louis Anderson.
So that's five.
Who is hysterical. So does that mean we got one more?
Yeah. According to your grandma.
According to my grandmother, well, somebody's going to die. I don't know who. And I told Kane on break, and I do not mean this, like, in, because Meatloaf, because the whole thing with the coronavirus, I mean, he had what they called, what is it, Wolf Parkinson White syndrome? I don't even know what it is. It's a heart condition. He had a heart condition. He had all kinds of stuff wrong. But I mean, he dealt with his health so much, I'm actually surprised that he went as long as he did. I got to be honest. So I don't know who's the other one. Who's going to die? Someone's going to die. Who is it going to be? It's true. It's the rule of threes. It'd be great if it was Vladimir Putin. What?
You had a question on whether or not if someone you know personally ends up dying as well, does it keep counted with the actual...
Yeah. So see, I always thought that if you knew someone who wasn't a celebrity, but it was somebody that you knew and they passed away, that was part of the rule of three. But I can't remember exactly what she had rules. I don't know if it's just the celebrity realm is a different sphere, because you know someone of your personal acquaintance who passed away. So does that mean two other people are going
to
die? Or
right,
just one?
You know, I'd hate to
or
think
is
that
it fulfilled?
Yeah.
Law three. I can't even believe that this is a topic of conversation. But every time this happens, I'm like, oh, and I hurry up and count on my fingers. Who died? So it is every time. I'm like, who died? I got to be able to count. Am I missing a celebrity?
There was a filmmaker and historian, Peter Bogdanovich, that died.
No, that doesn't count.
Is he a celebrity enough?
I'm today years old right now knowing about him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
I think. I don't know.
Well, he directed The Last Picture Show and had Oscar nominations.
Nobody cares.
And all this. Okay. All right. That's
sorry. If I'm missing someone, go ahead and tell me. All right, so I have other. I've got some meat and potatoes to get into, but I had to go over that because I couldn't remember exactly. All right, so yesterday we were talking about how Robert Reich said he was going to backhand Kyrsten Sinema. Well, he deleted his tweet. I feel like I need. I'm not going to apologize, but I feel like I'm. I should have maybe might. Which I'm not going to do because I saw his not apology yesterday. He tweeted last night. Quote, he said, I deleted a tweet because it was widely misinterpreted and distorted by conservative media. This is Robert Reich. Back of the hand is an idiom for rebuke. I wholeheartedly condemn violence against women. He literally said Republicans are lining up to shake hands of Democrat senators. If it were me, I would be giving Sinema the back of my hand. That's what he said. That wasn't an idiom for rebuke. That was a guy who's 4'7" tall saying that he's going to slap a woman. He'd have to climb a stepladder to reach her chin. That's what he was saying. I called him a cowardly little redacted. I was actually surprised it wasn't removed off Twitter. I just didn't care. It's always abusers who blame other people for their own misdeeds and their own mistakes. Can you imagine, though? I'm against violence against women. Conservatives misinterpret it. No, short stack. It wasn't conservatives that misinterpreted it. What a dodge for women or just like people in general. I don't mind making fun of a person with Napoleon syndrome when they deserve it. I really don't. But this is they are in a free fall. I've been talking about this week. I have some virus stuff for you as well, because, you know, we're going to be talking to next hour. We have Dr. Robert Malone, and then we're going to be talking to Dr. Peter McCullough. And I can't wait to see how quickly they're removed. So new data shows that those who recovered from coronavirus were less likely than the vaccinated to get infected during the Delta wave. Kane, are you OK? You just snapped your neck like you. Dang.
I like that when I hear science like that.
Kane, I'm going to put this science for you in Slack, although it's on the rundown. So new data shows that those who recovered from coronavirus were less likely than the vaccinated to get infected during the Delta wave.
And I was being facetious when I said science.
They said that it's new data released by, the CDC. Okay. Huh. And I love how the article goes, the data released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and health agencies in California and New York are sure to inflame arguments for those who insist they don't need to be vaccinated if they can show they recover. Well, yeah. What the hell is what? I mean, naturally acquired immunity is the thing. Why would that inflame an argument? The argument is coming from people who insist that naturally acquired immunity doesn't exist. And therefore, even if you've had it, you still have to get vaccinated. That's the argument.
And the vaccines are supposed to spark your natural immunity, which is why this is how it's been for decades.
Yeah, well, this is new science, Kane. Oh. It's new science. Now, in addition, yesterday I was telling you that UK, Czech Republic, even Israel, they're easing back restrictions and they're looking at approaching everything as though it's endemic. And now guess who else? Emmanuel Macron. He's presenting an agenda to ease health restrictions. They're also now pulling back on all of their regulations. Starbucks, which I'm not a fan of because they burn their beans, they killed the vaccine mandate for U.S. employees. Black Rifle Coffee never had any mandates. They've removed their mandates. And this is all, I mean, that's all good. These are all good things. So now it looks like we're finally viewing this as we're supposed to. This is something that is endemic. That's how we need to live with it. I mean, it's silly that we're not approaching it this way. Now, related to this, because when do the Olympics start that we're not going to watch? I don't care. By the way, I'm not going to have a single, we're not talking about the Olympics. We're not I'm not mentioning it. We are pretending that it doesn't exist because I am not, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to celebrate any win. I'm not going to, none of it. I'm not watching a single damn bit. It's not allowed on in my home. NBC said that they're not sending people to China for the Winter Olympics. Now, a lot of people were speculating, is it because they're commies and they unleash this virus on the world and they also have imprisoned a minority group and forced them to make Nikes? And they said, no, it's because, you know, they were talking about how I guess it's Omicron that's exploded over there because they're dealing with it and having to lock down everything again. Apparently, they're not going to even be any, there's not even going to be an audience there. It's only going to be the athletes and like the coaches, I think, that are even going to be there at any of these events. I don't know how they're going to do skiing. How does that even work? I mean, you're outside in the snow for crying out loud. Like, how's that going to, you're not going to have no people standing out there because everybody doesn't understand science. Anyway, long story short, they're apparently not sending anyone out there, not because China, they're a bunch of commies, but because of the Omicron, the mildest variant. Can you imagine if we reacted to everything the way people are? Oh, it's Omicron. It's a cold. She's got this sniffles. I was talking to a business owner friend of mine yesterday. She runs her business is service oriented. And she was saying that every now and then they get a couple of customers that come in. And if someone even so much as sniffles or clears their throat, those Karens, Cynthias, whatever you want to call them, look at the person who just like sneezed or sniffled or just so much as cleared their throat. And the nature of the service, by the way, that they require, like they do like eyebrow threading and all this stuff. Let's just be real. Anyway, they have to wear masks because they're forced to, because that's like the standard for, I guess, Texas Department of Health. It's an Austin thing. I don't know. Anyway, but she was saying that if someone even so much as like sneezes or something, that they have a couple of customers, regulars, that just look at the person who sneezed. And one of them actually came up to my friend who owns the business and was like, are you going to keep that person here? She just sneezed. And my friend was like, okay, well, it's not your business to know her health status, but because you're being so ridiculous, she already had coronavirus. She was vaccinated and she had coronavirus, so you can stop now. Like and the customer was wearing like two masks and all this other nonsense. And it she was like double vaxxed and triple boosted or something like that. And yet she was worried about everybody else. It's like, if you're that worried that your stuff isn't going to work because the chick who sneezed was wearing a mask because she was staff and she had to. How ridiculous. People are so ridiculous. Do you sometimes find yourself wondering how much control you really have over your finances? Recently, we've seen a complete assault on freedoms and liberties by the government. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and now even vaccine passports, all trying to limit whether you can even go to a grocery store or restaurant. And we've seen how quickly the government can infringe on your personal freedoms. So are your personal finances next? This is why I believe in diversifying with gold. Gold is physical, it's tangible, and gold is safe from government control. Gold can give you true control over your wealth, control that's not tied to government-regulated financial markets. And the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide information at legacypminvestments.com. That's Legacy, the letter P, the letter M, investments.com.
Shooting down woke culture, one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
Why are you waiting on food to make the first move, sir? Thank you.
So Biden's like, he gets asked about preemptive action in Ukraine. He goes, what a stupid question. And then just laughs and walks off. Can you, first off, it's Friday. And we're together and we got through the week. So it's good to be with you. We're finishing out our first hour. We have 3 hours, as you guys know. First hour of broadcasting. Jen Psaki, we played audio at the start of the show where she was telling people to just go drink if you're mad at the Biden administration. Can you imagine? But preemptive action in Ukraine, I do not want to wake up. And honestly, I like for at least this week, this I would wake up and I would look at like Daily Mail or Telegraph or The Independent, waiting to see above the fold whether or not Russia invaded Ukraine yet. Biden's already offered to meet with Putin to avoid war. They're trying to assuage. They're trying to compliment whatever they can do to make Putin happy, which is nuts to me. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met in Geneva for 90 minutes and crunch talks over Ukraine. Blinken says there were no breakthroughs. The talks will continue. They've been talking for a week now. They're going to continue apparently all next week. The United States is expected to give a written response to Russian security demands next week. Lavrov accused NATO of working against Russia by stirring up hysteria about the invasion of Ukraine. Now, first off, yeah, what do you think NATO is? What do you think NATO is, Brickhouse? What do you think NATO is? What do you think NATO was created because all these people like each other? Hell no. NATO was created because they don't like you. That's number one. Number two, I think the hysteria when it concerns the invasion of Ukraine, that came from literally putting hundreds of thousands of soldiers on the border with Ukraine and all kinds of other stuff. That's where that came from. We're going to get into all of this. We got Dr. Robert Malone next hour, too. You do not want to miss Dr. Robert Malone. You guys want to take bets on how quickly this gets removed from social? Stick with us.
I've been absolutely clear with President Putin. He has no misunderstanding. If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion. But it will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies, as well as laid out very clearly for President Putin. But there is no doubt, let there be no doubt at all, that if Putin makes this choice, Russia will pay a heavy price.
No one believes that. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Second hour of our program, ladies and gentlemen, this Friday. It's 12 p.m. Central, my time. It's good to be with you, as always. Make sure you go sign up for that newsletter, Chapter and Verse. I sent out a lot of stuff to you this week, to the point where a couple of people were like, I got three emails today. Is that normal? Like, they kind of wanted to be like, it's too much, but they didn't want to say it. There was a lot of stuff that you needed to know this week. So I was easing it on up a little bit this morning. All right. So you want to sign up, though, because you get a lot of good information there. A lot of good information. Russia, this administration already had a chance to hit hard at Russia, and they chose not to do so. I was telling Kane here when we were on break that, and we're going to get to, I have a whole bunch of other stuff that we're going to get to also. I was telling Kane that this, because next week what's supposed to take place is that Biden is going to hand over his written responses to these Russian demands as it relates to dialing down the temperature. Sergei Lavrov, that's Anthony Blinken's Russian counterpart. They've been having these discussions off and on all this week in Geneva. And I don't really think the needle's been moved at all. So, no, I don't think that Russia has moved, and I was thinking about this, and I was working on some rough framework of a piece, because the Biden administration has put itself in a difficult position. They horribly botched Afghanistan withdrawal. The United States does not have an appetite for any kind of posturing about conflict. None at all. Nor do we, frankly. I would have the economy for it. I don't think anybody, including Russia. Russia doesn't either. Russia is trying to bluster and poker face their way through this. Russia does not have the economy to face off against NATO. China doesn't even necessarily, they definitely do not have the economy to face off against the United States or any of the other coalition of nations in the Pacific. Now, maybe together, if they work in tandem, then maybe they would be more successful by dividing and conquering. But even that's kind of a stretch, and that's a gamble still for them. with Russia and this buildup on the border of Ukraine, and we've talked about the history of this before, this and this is why I say the needle hasn't been moved. And I think so far, sir, and I don't like saying this because I hate commies. I don't know if I can accurately express to you the level of my hatred in human words for communists. One of the reasons, just quick sidebar, so you understand how much I hate saying what I'm about to say, I think that communists should be put to death. That's me. I'm old school. This is why I'm like Gladriel. You do not want to offer me the One Ring. I'll be more terrifying than Sauron. Don't. She was more, know your history about Lord of the Rings elves. I can't believe we're even talking about it. Lord of the Rings can be, you can bring that back to anything. Anyway, my point in this is Sergei Lavrov is actually doing a better job than Anthony Blinken. Those are some bitter words. I hate commies. Hate commies. I hate commies. Hate. And I say this because Blinken seems to be kind of moving all over the place. Now, today it came out that Russia told the United States, get out of every former Soviet republic, and agreed to doing so in writing. Because remember, they're going to have this Biden's written response to all these demands next week. Blinken keeps going, yeah, we're making progress. No, you're not, actually. Lavrov said that the United States and NATO have to respond to their demands in writing. He said that Moscow would understand whether talks on its sweeping security demands were on the right track once it received a written response to them from the United States. Now, this is what this was yesterday morning, but this piece came out early this morning. This was yesterday afternoon. It's from Reuters. It was the news conference after talks for that day concluded between Blinken and Lavrov. And they were asked about this. Lavrov was asked. He goes, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But he said that they need a written response to this. And so that's what apparently is going to take place next week. So, but Russia, the Financial Times reported, Russia wants NATO to remove all of its forces from Bulgaria, Romania, and every other previous Soviet republic in Eastern Europe that joined the alliance, that joined NATO after 97. Moscow is not moving on the expansion of NATO. Now, let's go back in time 2 years. Do you remember when Trump was accused of destroying NATO, when in fact Trump expanded NATO? Not only did he expand the NATO alliance, but it was during that period that he went over, and was it G7 or whatever? I can't remember what international event it was where he and Angela Merkel got into it. And all those pictures went everywhere, and our press worked overtime trying to use that as a way to argue that Trump somehow was losing influence on the world stage, when in fact he twisted Angela Merkel's arm, essentially, I mean, rhetorically speaking, behind her back, and he got her to agree to increase what Germany was paying in contributions to NATO. Now, what I mean by in contributions to NATO, NATO alliance was requiring all of these member countries to spend X amount on their own self-defense so that if fit hit the shan, it would be less taxing on U.S. resources to help. Does that make sense? So Germany was asked, make sure you just contribute at least as much as you said you were going to contribute when you joined NATO. Angela Merkel was livid over it. Joe Biden actually walked it back when he became president. But that's, Trump went in there and was like, this is what's going to happen. Russia didn't pull any of this crap when Trump was in office. You didn't see Russia going, get out of all these former Soviet republics. You didn't hear Russia saying any of that. In fact, Bulgaria has to have bigger balls than the United States right now. So you did not have, and by the way, this has been in place for a long time. They waited for Biden. So Sergei Lavrov, Russia's foreign minister, said that Russia's demands included, quote, withdrawing foreign forces, equipment, armaments, and making other steps to return to the condition of 97. And that's when all these former Warsaw Pact countries, all these former Soviet republics, began appealing to NATO for membership, and NATO began admitting them. Lavrov said that includes Bulgaria and Romania, and that Russia's demand was, quote, core and deliberately worded as clearly as possible. They did not want any other interpretation. Now, the United States, and keep in mind, not just the United States. Where else is there an absence of objection? Germany, UK, France, Bulgaria, and they should speak up. Bulgaria, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Bulgaria gave Russia the finger. And they said that Russia had no right at all whatsoever to tell them, their own sovereign country, what to do, and that they, Bulgaria, have been calling their own shots for years now. But what do these moves tell you about Putin's ambitions? It's a little bit of an Overton window, I think. They want to overplay their hand just so they can get a few inches on the field. A little bit by little bit. It really does, though, give a lot of legitimacy to the idea that Putin really wants to restore the former Soviet Union. Now, what I was reading the Associated Press, and they didn't even put a big emphasis on that. Neither really did the Reuters piece. Now, Lavrov said that he didn't really expect any kind of a breakthrough on this. But he said, we want concrete answers to these concrete proposals. So Moscow wants NATO to promise that Ukraine will never be allowed to join. They want all of any NATO ally to remove any troops and any military equipment from all of these Eastern European countries. Now, this is apparently where the standoff is happening, because the United States and NATO allies have said that these are non-starters. Russia's not going to remove, but I mean, it is. Here's the thing. Where's Poland in this? I mean, if you're talking about all former nations in Warsaw Pact, don't you think that maybe Poland is probably very concerned about this? Neither Reuters nor AP nor anybody else discusses this. Whew. I'm telling you what. Golly. Here's another way to look at this, too. You have all of this stuff kicking off with Russia. And what have Democrats been doing? Democrats have been looking elsewhere for a potential electoral savior. And they think they can get it from Hillary Clinton. This is how badly, how stupid Democrats have been. Democrats used to be really good with game plans. They used to have, I mean, like back in the 90s and the early aughts, even maybe, I would say even going up to 2008, they had a pretty good bench. I didn't like their bench, but for Democrats, I mean, they were a pretty good bench. Now all they have to rely on is Hillary Clinton. What was one of Hillary Clinton's, besides backing the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and trying to destabilize Libya and then the Benghazi atrocity happening on her hands? What was the other big foreign policy? Well, this was a blunder that she had happen on her watch. You remember when she gave that button that she thought said reset but didn't? You know who was in that picture, that photo op with her, and who she was? Who she gave the button to? Sergey Lavrov. Now, look at the way all of this is unfolding with Russia. Could the timing be worse for Democrats on this if they're seriously looking at that woman as being the savior, the person who's going to help them with restore their electoral chances? My friend Glenn Reynolds has a fantastic piece. We're going to go here in just a second. Has a great piece in the New York Post about this. Because under the previous administration, we had energy independence. We became the net exporter of oil and gas. Gas prices were low. We were bringing oil from Canada to the U.S. heartland. Biden canceled all of this. We have gas prices skyrocketing. We were reduced to begging OPEC to pump more oil, and they declined and then increased prices. And now Biden's blocking pipelines at home. He's greenlighting Nord Stream 2, connecting Russian gas fields to Europe, giving the Kremlin a huge cash infusion, and making Europe dependent on Putin, who could freeze NATO allies out by turning off a few valves. The energy policy of this administration has boosted Russia to make these demands. You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so a California bill would allow preteens to be vaccinated without parents' consent, but heaven forbid if you get your ears pierced. Currently in California, minors ages 12 to 17, they cannot be vaccinated unless their parents have given permission or their guardian, and unless it's to specifically to prevent a sexually transmitted disease, which I still am like, what? But now this proposal, this is the youngest age of any state. This is was filed yesterday by a state senator. Craziness. What's his name? Scott Wiener. That's literally his name. I'm not making it. What? That's his name. Kane gave me a look like I'm trying to get away with something. Dude. So, okay, this is actually a real thing. Biden's TSA confirms that they are, in fact, allowing people who enter the country illegally to fly using their arrest warrants as acceptable identification. DHS arrest warrants can be used as identification to get past airport security, reports Bill Malugin. They confirmed in a statement, TSA, that they are allowing illegal entrants to use arrest warrants as ID at airport security checkpoints. They get an additional screening, and then their DHS documents are validated by cross-checking CBP databases. That's crazy. Elon Musk's SpaceX Starlink satellites disrupt almost a fifth of images snapped by asteroid-spotting telescope, a study warns. Yeah, didn't you guys miss some asteroids, though, until it was, like, too late? I'm just saying. Dr. Robert Malone joins us via Skype next.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
The way I would look at it is it's one of many studies that have looked at the question of, does getting an infection give you any kind of immunity going forward? And the answer is it does. It clearly helps. One of the bigger questions has been, is it as good as getting vaccinated? And I think most of the evidence suggests that being infected and recovering is not as good as getting vaccinated.
Well, I would dispute this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional, but I did take biology and science in high school and college, and so I had Omicron over Christmas, I think, with millions of other Americans. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dana Lash. Always so good to be here with you coast to coast. That was Dr. Ashish Jha, who was claiming that this new CDC study shows that the vaccine is actually more effective than naturally acquired immunity, and that just violates everything that I've ever learned about how our body's immune system works. And I say this as someone who is not anti-vax. I don't discount. I've had vaccinations before. I've had chickenpox vaccine. I've had everything. The virus vaccine is where I had questions, and I understand the plan to go and vaccinate those who have comorbidities and the elderly, et cetera. I mean, we've talked about this before. But my issue is that I feel that as though there's a push in science to disregard natural immunity. Our guest right now is world renowned and he is making waves. He's I don't know why he's so controversial. He speaks truth. He's based in science and fact and medicine, which are things that should not ever be politicized. Dr. Robert Malone, who everyone knows is the original inventor of mRNA tech, the vaccine platform that's been used in Pfizer and Moderna. A lot of people have tried to dispute this, but the USPTO has a huge list of patents with Dr. Robert Malone's name on it, to the contrary of his critics. And he's also going to be speaking at the Defeat the Mandate rally this Sunday in D.C. And we're also going to ask him about these 16,000 scientists that signed a declaration standing with him. Dr. Malone joins us now via Skype. Doctor, so good to see you again. Thank you for so much for giving us some of your time today.
Hi, Dana. It's my pleasure to be here. I apologize for the ambient noise. I was a little tight getting on, and I'm stuck in the corner of a restaurant at the Ritz-Carlton in Crystal City, which is where we're going to be coming together for the rally. So,
it's fitting. It is completely fitting. I wanted to get your response to this this soundbite that I played as we were coming in, where it's claimed now that this CDC study, this new study, shows that no, the vaccine is more powerful than your naturally acquired immunity. What is the goal of all of this? Is it to get to a point of herd immunity? Or is it to make sure that everyone is vaccinated? Can you weigh in on this issue?
Or is it to sell vaccine? I don't know. It's all crazy. But I strongly disagree with the statement from the gentleman. I respectfully disagree, but I disagree strongly. We have over 140 papers regarding natural immunity, and it sounds like he's cherry picking his studies. There's many studies out and new data all the time now that the naturally immune, that being defined as those like you that have been infected and recovered and developed strong, broad, robust T and B immune responses, are better protected than they are with the vaccines. And the data shows that it's more durable also. So the gentleman perhaps is suffering from the mass formation phenomena that my good friend Matthias Desmet has so well documented in his upcoming publication on the origins of totalitarianism.
And we had him on. We had Matthias Desmet on, Dr. Desmet, to discuss that as well, the mass formation psychosis.
And I was just with him for the last 4 days filming a documentary in Spain. And Dana, he's very grateful for your interview and for the opportunity to speak to the American audience that you provided.
We're grateful that he was able to come on and discuss this with us, because without, I think, people like yourself and Professor Desmet and others, especially these 16,000 scientists now that are standing with you, there is such a push to silence any kind of public discussion of any of this. I mean, my previous interview with you, twice, two different portions of it were pulled from Facebook. They were suppressing it on YouTube. I mean, Facebook deleted it. They deleted your discussion, particularly the part, Dr. Malone, where you were explaining to me and my audience across the nation how mRNA vaccines work, just how it works. They said that was disinformation, and they pulled the interview. They deleted it off of Facebook because of that, which it was stunning to me. Why do you think there is this push to this behavior, to not have ideas versus ideas, but to silence any kind of public discussion on this? Where does this come from?
That's one of the big questions, Dana, that you're asking. And there's the big how and the big why questions. Zuck, for some reason, has been just pushing vaccines from the outset. And early on, I could not post anything, my published academic peer-reviewed work on famotidine, Pepcid, as an agent that was useful, was not allowed to be posted on Facebook. This is early on in 2020. All the way through, Zuckerberg has been clearly pushing the fear porn. Through CNN, we have CNN executives testifying to this, that Zuckerberg was calling into the office directly and advocating that they put up the deaths more frequently. He's the one, together with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, that funded the attack article in The Atlantic against me, all the way through. And I can tell you, Dana, I'm in touch with various groups of lawyers. that are really looking forward to the opportunity that Zuckerberg has created to take on his company, because I think he's left himself with a huge liability. Basically, what he's done is he suppressed the information that patients need to have true informed consent. So a case can be made, in my opinion, that patients who have suffered adverse events that would have been avoided if they'd been able to really get the information about the potential risks, have a court case against Zuckerberg and his company, as well as Twitter, because of this active suppression of information that patients deserve to have so that they can make true informed decisions. Whether or not it's something that is contrary to the established narrative or whatever, if they blocked information that relates to potential adverse events, like they have by deleting patients that have complained about their adverse events, not allowing them to speak on Facebook, well, that is clearly suppressing key information about risks. And I think that they're probably going to find themselves legally liable, even though the pharma has been absolved of any liability through the indemnification.
Yes, we're talking with Dr. Robert Malone. As you all know, if you're just joining us, the original inventor of the mRNA vaccine platform. Doctor, in touching on naturally acquired immunity again, there's some good news that we're seeing. We're seeing some of these countries reject now vaccine passports, saying that they don't work, the mandatory masking, it's not working as planned. I think Israel was one of the first countries that came out and said, yeah, these vaccine passports are not working. Yet we're still relying, and this is one of the big questions that we've been talking about here, and obviously you're the best to ask. It's a two-part. How long does naturally acquired immunity last? And why are we relying so much on PCR tests that, because I probably would still test positive. I had Omicron right the day after Christmas is when I tested positive. And I would probably still test positive. I think it can go up to 3 months with a PCR test. Why are we still relying on that? But yet we're that doesn't seem to be very scientific. I'd love for you to weigh in on this.
So Rochelle Walensky has actually acknowledged that the test is not designed to conform and it's not licensed for the purpose of demonstrating that one has recovered from the disease. So you are exactly right, Dana. And by the way, the Chinese knew this. Remember, I was in close contact with people in the People's Republic of China, as well as colleagues from the CIA that were working this issue early on in 2020. And it was early on the Chinese recognized that they could no longer rely on PCR as criteria for discharge, because otherwise their hospitals would all fill up. And so this was known about late January, February 2020, that PCR was not useful for this issue of assessing recovery and lack of viremia. Then we have all of the mismanagement and overdiagnosis of the disease and the infection by hospitals running it up to 42 cycles. Those that are paying attention to the details here know that. And they also know that the hospitals had a financial incentive to go ahead and run those PCR cycles up because they got a bonus if they're able to declare anybody in the hospital to be SARS-CoV-2 positive. And it was easy to do so by running these tests that were nonspecific and couldn't differentiate between influenza and SARS-CoV-2. So we have all kinds of perverse incentives. I personally, the rapid antigen test is what's used in Europe, and it's what's used to get, I can tell you, I just came back from Spain. It's what is required in order to land internationally. So you have to have the rapid antigen test within 24 hours. Rapid antigen is inexpensive, it's quick, it's easy. You still have to get, I can't resist, the nose rape still has to happen. But it's quick and it doesn't cost as much as the PCR, and it's perfectly adequate. And in my opinion, it's the best way to monitor whether you have cleared the virus from your nasopharynx and you're no longer infectious. So you're, all these things, you're right, Dana. At some point, somebody is going to have to write a book on all the lies that the government told us. And I'm glad to announce for the first time on your program that I'm writing that book. So the lie is my government has told me is the new volume. You can check it out on Amazon. It's there for pre-purchase, courtesy of Tony Lyons. Tony, of course, being the famous or infamous publisher of this obscure volume that no one is allowed to advertise or review by Bobby Kennedy concerning Anthony Fauci.
Yes.
So I'm going to the same publisher as Bobby has used, and we're looking forward to putting this out. But the government's mismanagement here, both regionally and globally, is just profound. Now, as you point out, and this is really in terms of the topics for your audience and people of an intellect like yours, just think this through. Boris Johnson got put between a rock and a hard spot by his own party, and he squealed, please don't kill me or don't delete me, don't right. defenestrate me. And what he's done is he's put Joe Biden and the WHO in a really tough position,
yes.
and all the Western nations, because he has now made these determinations. Mike, one of two things are going to happen, or maybe there's a spectrum. I think that Joe Biden has got a real problem with the upcoming rally, because if he and he between the rally and Boris's position, he's got a problem politically, because if he modifies his position to align with Boris and he does it after the rally, then he looks like he's conceded to pressure. Okay, but with the UK coming out with these positions that mandates and masks, et cetera, are not necessary in the passports.
Yes, starting next Monday.
The US bureaucracy is still just barreling forward with this insane advocacy to jab people again and again. Even the Israelis, as you say, acknowledge that four jabs are not working. And the data is suggesting, the data suggests that the unvaccinated, which are probably largely naturally immune, have a lower probability of getting infected from Omicron
yes.
than the vaccinated do.
Yes.
And it's proportional to the number of jabs. So it's the narrative is just collapsing right in front of our faces. And the question is, how quickly can the politicians scramble to get up from under it before it hits them in the face?
We're talking with Dr. Robert Malone. Dr. Malone, I'm wondering, would you be able to hang on for another quick segment after this commercial break? I would love to keep you. I have a couple of more questions. I know my audience across the country would love to hear more from you. Would you indulge us by hanging on for a couple of minutes?
You're very kind, Dana. Of course I will. Thank you for asking so gently.
Of course. We would love it. We're talking with Dr. Robert Malone, as you know, the original inventor of mRNA. He's in D.C. He's going to be in D.C. There's a huge rally that's taking place this Sunday, Defeat the Mandate. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk more about these physicians that are siding with his assessment on the risks related to the vaccine. We have a number of questions for him. Dr. Malone's going to stick with us here. We're going to take a quick break, come back with more of the show, more of the Dana Show here after this. Stick with us.
The Dana Show.
We have Dr. Robert Malone, who is staying with us for a second segment. And we rarely do this on the show, but he's such a big guest and so important. With this time we have left, we're just going to get right into it. As you all know, and Dr. Malone has been following this story, Project Veritas had military documents. This is the DARPA story about gain of function research that contradict Dr. Anthony Fauci's testimony that he gave under oath. These documents stated that EcoHealth Alliance approached DARPA in March of 2018 seeking funding to conduct this gain of function research, and that it was called Project Diffuse. This is completely contrary to what we heard from Dr. Fauci. Dr. Malone, when we talk about disinformation, hiding this fact from the American people, that seems to be the height of disinformation. Your response?
I completely concur. And now we have a first person testimony. I've posted the link onto my Getter account of someone who is fully aware that Peter Daszak was working with the CIA before all this happened. We are now in a situation in which it's clear that the American government contributed in a substantial way to the creation of this virus. All the evidence clearly points to it. We now understand the why. And what we don't understand is the consequences. Somebody has to be held accountable. And part of that somebody, I think, is going to end up being the U.S. government on the world stage. The consequences of this, I can only imagine, and it's horrible.
Yeah, very, very horrible. Dr. Malone, also 17,000 physicians have spoken out publicly. They've sided with your assessment on the risks related to the vaccine, on the restrictions that have been implemented. And they've also sided with you on protection for children. I want to tell us a little bit about this declaration, because just the other day I saw it was 16,000. Now it's over 17,000.
Yeah, we've had a lot more docs come in, and of course they're going to be at the rally wearing white coats. So look for us there. We're over 17,000. This is an audited list, and in contrast to the 270 that signed off wanting to take the Rogan podcast down off of Spotify, of which less than half were physicians. Mm. There's three key points. Don't vaccinate the children. Allow early treatment. Stop hunting physicians.
Yeah, there you go. Dr. Malone, unfortunately, we are out of time. I wish I would love to keep you for another hour. I know you're in D.C. You're there for the Defeat the Rally, Defeat the Mandate Rally this Sunday in D.C. Dr. Malone, I hope that you give them hell at this rally.
I just tell the truth and they think it's hell.
There you go. Dr. Robert Malone. And make sure you check out his new book that's coming out, Lies My Government Told Me and The Better Future Coming. The new book from Dr. Robert Malone. Dr. Malone, thank you so much for your voice, for your persistence in making sure that Americans understand the truth about this issue. We are indebted to you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your service, Dana.
Of course. Folks, we have another hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show back after this.
There's no evidence right now that healthy children or healthy adolescents need boosters. No evidence at all.
That's one of the chief scientists for the World Health Organization saying this. Welcome back to the show, third hour. And you're going to be able here shortly to watch our full interview. I rarely hold guests over like that. I think maybe I can count on one hand in 10 years of broadcasting where I've done that. But I think that it's incredibly important to do so. Dr. Robert Malone, you'll be able to see that full interview. And we're also going to have it broken up into some bite-sized stuff that you'll be able to see on Facebook and as well as Getter and Twitter if they don't remove it, and Facebook if they don't remove it, Rumble, they'll keep it up, YouTube, I don't know what they're going to do. So we'll make sure that we have that all that up there for you as well as the link to his book where you can pre-order. I would save your pre-order, though. Set a reminder and do it the week before it comes out, because that's how to make it count and to manipulate the New York Times bestseller list. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying. Dana Lash here. Happy Friday to you. And we have also coming up Dr. Peter McCullough. He's here in Dallas. Like, he's in our hood. He's going to be talking from the office. Like, he's seeing patients and dealing with this every day with patients. And we're going to get that aspect from Dr. McCullough on this. So lots of good stuff. You know what gets me about this? And here's the thing, because I was reading up about all of these doctors, whether it's, you know, Dr. Tess Laurie that we've had on, Geert Vandenbosch, everyone. And I want you to realize all of these doctors, as you've seen in media, They're portrayed as like they're conspiracy theorists or something. They have been, before all of this, they were widely celebrated, world renowned. No one dared question them. And I'll be honest with you, if you were to assume their politics, you probably would think that they're kind of on the left, to be honest. That is how much this whole paradigm has changed. They have not changed their consistency. They have stayed exactly where they are as the political spheres, not just in the United States, but everywhere, have moved further and further left. And with that, they expect science to move left with them. And these doctors and scientists have said, no, this is, I mean, because I'll be, and I don't say this as any kind of pejorative, Like some of the doctors we've had on the show, particularly those from Europe, I would have assumed that they were on the left. But they've been consistent. They're not blind partisans. They have a particular set of views, but when it comes to medicine, when it comes to science, I mean, there's a reason why we have scientific theory. The scientific process, the whole where all our conclusions are orchestrated by the set of facts. They determine what the conclusions are. And now we have a politicized view of science that determines that here's the conclusion, the facts need to fit this. We have a conclusion and the facts must support this conclusion that we have established, regardless of whether or not it's based in science. That's where it gets really dangerous. Like I have friends and look, I joke about crystals and oil. I'm sure people can make fun of me because I have a friend who makes fun of the fact that I have so much Clorox and she thinks it's poison. And she's like, why do you have all of this? And she laughs. Like she's very much like nuts and oils, right? Love her to bits. And she works in, I'm not going to say exactly what she does. She's in Dallas, but works in as a medical professional. I don't care what people do. I don't get bothered by that kind of stuff. As long as you're happy and you're healthy, I don't care. And I've just noticed a lot of people across the spectrum, right, left, whatever, we've all kind of come to settle in the same place where we think that science and medicine should be consistent and should be the unchanging thing throughout the ages. Right? You follow where the facts lead. Not where feelings lead, not where the political winds shift. And it terrifies me. And I don't get scared. The only things that scare me are crickets, spiders, and politicizing science. I think that's it, actually. No, that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deathly afraid of crickets to a terrifying degree. If I had to go in a room of crickets, I'm not going to last. It's going to be, you're going to watch the first person climb on the ceiling like Spider-Man with no known way to do it. Well, anyway, I'm getting off point. But think about this, like throughout the ages, that's supposed to be the thing that remains consistent. And there have been tests of this throughout, you know, where we have tried to fit fact to a conclusion, whether it's with Galileo, we've tried to fit fact to a specific conclusion to the detriment of humanity. And we're doing it again. I mean, these doctors and medical professionals that are standing up and saying, wait a minute, they're not allowing the winds of politics to shift their position on something that's resolute and concrete. They're getting Galileo'd. I don't know how else to put it. They are. True. I mean, that's to be told that naturally acquired immunity is less powerful than a manufactured inducement is suspect. Now, I have friends who've been vaccinated. I had a friend, I'll tell you this. It might seem anecdotal, but it's, you know, my real life experience. I had a friend who was terrified to tell me that she was vaccinated and she had her family vaccinated. She was so terrified to tell me this. And she, one of her kids had an episode, had an adverse reaction. And I was just, I didn't know, and I don't, you know, pry into people's lives, medical decisions. My friendship with someone does not give me any more legitimacy to grill them about their medical decisions than not. But she was terrified, and she later told me, she was like, I was really nervous to tell you about this. And by the way, this is, of all my friends, this is just, again, this might be anecdotal, but my experience, this is the third time where I've had someone experience this kind of reaction. And I'm not saying that that's the general rule. It may be the exception. I'm just relating. This is just what I've lived. And my friend was so nervous to tell me that she had, her and her husband determined that they were going to have their family, and they have three kids, they were going to be vaccinated. And we were all at dinner and it came up and I was like, how is, you know, your child? You know, I know that you had this issue. I hope everything is okay. And I had, you know, I suspected, but I wasn't going to say anything. I'm not going to. And that's when my friend said, well, you know, I was really nervous to tell you this, but yeah, we were vaccinated. I was like, why were you nervous to tell me this? Did you think you were going to receive some kind of judgment from me? I am not that person. I apologize if I ever gave you that impression, but I'm not that person to judge you for making a determination about your own risk assessment. I'm not going to do this. Like, I'm just happy that, you know, that everybody's recovered, even from a reaction, and that everybody's okay. Okay, that's the thing that people on the left assume that we're going to do, and we don't do that. But they sure as hell do with us. Do they not? I made the assessment with myself and our family, and we've had a couple of other considerations that went into that I just don't feel like sharing because it's nobody's damn business. But everybody has to make their own determinations. But we're getting to this. This is why I really appreciate these medical professionals really holding the line. Don't think, by the way, either that, oh, well, Dr. Malone's got a book coming out and he's speaking at this rally, that this is going really well, you know, he's doing okay. Don't immediately assume that, because you would be shocked at a lot of the ways that these people are getting railroaded back channel. You really would. So keep that in mind going forward. So we're going to be talking to Dr. Peter McCullough, as I said, here coming up. And I know we missed Florida Man, but it was worth it. It was worth it. Very excited, too, about that panel, because Dr. Malone's going to be speaking at this panel that Senator Johnson's hosting. Hopefully it'll be on C-SPAN. A few other things that I want to make sure that we get into, because we've been talking about foreign policy, kind of looking to see whatever it is that Russia is going to, whatever they decide to do. We'll see. I also wanted to get into a couple of other things as it relates to the virus, but more along the political aspect of it. Did you guys hear this story about an American Airlines flight to London from Miami that they turned around an hour into the journey because some passenger did not want to follow the masking rules, and the airline was like, it's very important that you follow the masking rules. Did you guys hear? Yeah, I know. You hear? I'm not mad at the passenger, because who the hell would want to wear... It was a woman in her 40s, 129 passengers, 14 crew members. They were 500 miles into a 4,400-mile flight. Flight tracker said that they had to go back. American Airlines said the flight was diverted because of a, quote, disruptive customer refusing to comply with the federal mask requirement. Now, I'll tell you, did I tell you this story when we were traveling to, I think, Florida for CPAC last year? I was speaking at CPAC and we were getting on an American Airlines flight, and I tweeted about it, and American Airlines immediately reached out. My husband had an N95 mask. He can't wear just the surgical masks because of his beard, right? So he was wearing an N95 mask because it fits better. And it had, it didn't have any holes in it or anything like that. But it wasn't an N95 mask that the, like, maybe 21-year-old TSA gate agent knew. And so they were like, we're not going to be able to let you on with that mask. And I'm like, that's an American-made N95 that I've already had. Because remember, I didn't have to go out and get PPE. I'm like, that's literally an N95. And there were like some impressions in the mask that were just circles on either side. And they're like, oh, those are holes. They weren't literally holes. It was just like how you could impress something in a fabric. That's all it was. And I'm like, that's not a hole. So you know what the dude did? He reached into this bag of masks with his hand. I watched him as he was calling everybody up and talking into the little microphone thing. He rubbed his nose and with that same hand reached into a bag and grabbed masks and was going to hand this crappy mask that he just touched to my husband. So many times we play good cop, bad cop, because my husband, we're both extroverts, and I just, my switch gets flipped like that on stupid stuff. And I'm like, did you just reach your hand in there into that gross ass bag and touch the masks with the hand that I just watched you wipe your nose with? I mean, we were stopped right there getting on the flight. Like I said, this is a year ago. And I go, since you don't like his actually better functioning N95 mask, I have a sterile mask here that I will have him wear. I will give him to wear, but I'm not touching that. And they made us stand there, and he had to take off his N95 and put on, and it was in its own separate piece of plastic, also USA made from Pennsylvania, and put on his surgical mask. And then he switched when he was on the plane again because he can't. It's just not comfortable when you got a beard and a mustache and that. Stupidest thing I ever saw in my life. And that's when I'm like, this is theater. This is such theater. And I spoke out about it. And American Airlines is like, no, they, you know, maybe it was their training. I'm like, well, you need to make sure your people are trained better. Look, I understand that you can't, you shouldn't take out, you know, regulations that people can't make on the people who are required to enforce them. But at the same time, when they are that stupid, yeah, you F-A-F-O. That's just the way it is. Man, normally I probably would have, you know, gone like spider monkey on Mountain Dew in that reaction. But I'm like, oh, we just got to get on this flight. But yeah, so I when I read about these encounters, I don't necessarily put all the blame on the people who are being disruptive. I got to be honest with you. I don't, because a lot of times the enforcement is crap. And it just kind of goes to show you that if it was based in science, there would be some uniform consistency with the application and enforcement of it. And because it's not based on science, there isn't. That's why. And people see it and they react to that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Associated Press says Kyle Rittenhouse seeks the return of the firearm that was used to that he used to defend himself during the Kenosha protest. After he was acquitted of the charges, his attorney, Mark Richards, has filed paperwork with the Kenosha County Circuit Court this week seeking the return of certain items, including his rifle. According to Kenosha News and Associated Press. And he also wants the clothing he was wearing the night of those riots to be returned to. Also, employee surveillance is exploding with remote work and could be the new norm. This expansion of worker surveillance runs the risk of shattering employee trust. There's a monitoring software maker, InterGuard. They told the press that companies are scrambling, trying to allow their employees to work from home, but also trying to maintain a certain level of security and productivity. This is becoming more and more of a bigger issue. The IRS will soon require selfies for online access. This is the stupidest thing. They said, the agency says that by summer of 2022, the only way to log into IRS.gov will literally be through ID.me, an online identity verification service that requires people to submit copies of bills and identity documents, as well as a live video feed of their faces via a mobile device. No. Maybe the IRS should do that. Also, a film studio is going to be launched into space apparently in 2024. Maybe they could just send Hollywood to space. Dr. Peter McCullough joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Given the improving situation, and as I said last week, we hoped to be able to do, I can confirm today that all of these measures will be lifted from next Monday, 24th January. We will also, from Monday, remove the guidance advising adults against non-professional indoor contact sports so that these can resume as normal. And from Monday, we will also lift the guidance asking people to stick to a three-household limit on indoor gatherings.
I love the Scottish accent. I love it. If I could pick any accent to have, it'd be the Scottish accent, I think. I can't do it properly. Everybody sounds like a version of Scrooge McDuck to me. It's amazing. Or Sean Connery, in a way. Welcome back to the program. That was Scotland's, one of their government officials announcing that their social distancing rules are going to be dropped entirely. This Monday, this coming Monday. Wow. So you have France, Britain, Israel, Scotland. Who else? There's somebody else who came on the scene, too. They're all dropping all of this stuff.
Yeah, UK. Did you mention UK?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I said Britain because it's not necessarily all the UK. It's just Britain. So it's not going to be the Commonwealth, really. Actually, it's just specifically England, not even Great Britain, because Great Britain, I mean, you get in. Yeah, there's like different countries that come into play depending on, you know, what you're talking about. Oh, so welcome back to the program this Friday. So we were going to have Dr. Peter McCullough and he is MIA. So but we had Dr. Robert Malone, who just joined us last hour. And we're going to have the Second time we've spoken to him, we talked to him again. Also, we talked to him the first time last year, early in December. And he was making some news saying he's got a book coming out, Lies My Government Told Me, all about how they're handling this, which I'm excited about. And Dr. Mullen's going to be speaking this Sunday at that Defeat the Mandate rally taking place. And he's also going to be, as I understand it, testifying before at the Senate. They're having a hearing on all of this that's being put together by Senator Ron Johnson. And that's on Monday. So we'll have all of that stuff up there for you. But this is significant. The number of countries that are stepping out and saying, okay, this is not working anymore. None of this is working anymore. And we're done doing this. I'm so excited about this. It's huge. I'm incredibly excited about this because it's like we're getting a little bit back to normal. Now, if we could just stop relying so much on all the PCR nonsense, that would be great. Because the PCR tests, and as we were talking about that, in fact, we need to make that probably a separate cut. Poor Juan. We're like, by the way, maybe that should be also a separate cut. That's like five separate. I like to do, we're doing little bite-sized stuff, and then we have our full interview because it's a long interview. But we're also going to have some bite-sized stuff, too, because that was really significant what he was explaining as it relates to the PCR testing and why it's just really the antigen tests are the best, because the PCR test, nobody wants to pay attention to cycle threshold numbers. And so it's going to look like, even if you've already gotten over it and you've recovered, like I had Omicron over Christmas, so I would probably still test positive. You can test positive up to 3 months with the PCR test. That's so ridiculous. Because I would love to go somewhere for spring break this year. I'd love to go, you know, somewhere tropical and fish, but I probably won't even, I may not be able to, because everybody's using these idiotic PCR tests that would show me is still positive, even though I'm already recovered, and nobody wants to pay attention to the presence of antibodies. So there we are. Everything's dumb. I honestly think I'm just going to stick to like 30A. I'm going to stick to Florida because that's where it's at, right? Yep. God bless America. I tell you what. But I'm so happy to see these countries just toss all this off. So, yeah, England's doing this. Monday. Now, what gets me is that the United States and England, and then they're also dropping like the vaccine passports and all this, too. Israel came out and said these aren't working. So they're dropping them. Did you see? And this was, I want to make sure I have this day correct, because this was in New York City. And like I said, I want to make sure I have this day correct on this, because I think it was last night. No, it was the New York Freedom Rally. This was over the weekend. So, but this video is coming out showing a 9-year-old girl crying. Five adults, they were arrested at New York's Natural History Museum. They wanted to go into the museum, but they would not show their papers. They did not show their vaccine cards. And so NYPD arrested them. I don't back that blue. I don't. It's not a universal thing. I back the properly enforced constitutional. That's just how it is. Constitutional laws that don't infringe upon individual liberties. New York still has this crazy vaccine mandate. I'm having to do everything remotely, but there's some business that we've had to do with New York City, with stuff in New York City. And I can't go or do any of it because I'm not vaccinated, but I've had coronavirus and I've recovered from it. So I have natural acquired immunity. I wouldn't be able to go anywhere in Manhattan. And Manhattan is where some of the business that I've had to handle remotely, and some of it I just have to put off. It's where that is. And so I can't go up there for meetings or anything because I wouldn't be able to go anywhere. I wouldn't even be able to access some of the places that I have been asked to go, because even though I have natural acquired immunity, I didn't get the government injection. So it doesn't count. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
I was dealing with some business stuff and my agent and all this, and where there was someone had requested a meeting in Manhattan at a building where And it's, well, this is everywhere, every business in Manhattan. You I mean, especially if there's security present, you have to show your phone and your vax pass. I don't have that. I have natural immunity. And even my left-leaning agent, who's an intellectual, so he's not, you know, a crazy commie, is like, yeah, this is ridiculous. He's like, this is ridiculous. Because it is. Where is the science on this? How insane is that, right? Mm-hmm. Couldn't go, I have it. Can't get it. Can't transmit it because I already have it. I can't go because I don't have the fake thing that doesn't actually prevent the transmission. So stupid. So does the left still want to be like Europe? Because now's the time to copy Europe. On this stuff. Now's the time to do it. Like, hey guys, you see what they're doing over in England? You guys see what the French are doing? The French are getting rid of all this stuff Monday. Hey, no more of these national mandates. See what they're doing? No vax mandates, no mask mandates, no pass mandates, none of it. No distancing, no social they're not doing any of it. We always wanted to be like Europe, so now here's our chance, guys. Hey. This might be the first time conservatives are like, let's copy them. Sounds like a great idea. I hope that England should extend it to the entirety of the Commonwealth. And I say this not for selfish reasons, because there's places in the Commonwealth I would like to go and fish. I'm just saying. Right? I tell you what. And so this, I have so many things I want to make sure that we're able to get into here. Bear with me, because I have a million things here that we have open. The one of the things that Kane had shared, the DOJ appealed the ruling earlier blocking a federal employee vax mandate, which is that's pretty significant. Just all good things to follow. All good things to follow. And we're still watching this. Everything that's happening with regards to the ongoing discussions with Blinken and Sergey Lavrov. Nothing's going to move on that until next week. So just FYI, nothing's going to move on that until next week. So I have some media malpractice. Yesterday we talked about this NPR story with Nina Totenberg. And remember, she made up this thing about the Supreme Court justices and the mask mandates and all of that. Well, NPR refuses to disavow the story. Their own ombudsman, though, like one of the people who, this was weird. So NPR said that they stood by her reporting, even though Justin John Roberts issued a very rare statement saying that, no, I never requested that anybody wear a mask. NPR is calling a Supreme Court justice basically a liar. Now, NPR's Kelly McBride, she's their public editor, like their ombudsman. She weighed in. And she said that this is what she said. I'm not making this up. She goes, it was an inaccurate verb choice, made the reporting unclear. Oh. She wrote, it was an inaccurate verb choice that made the reporting unclear. I think they need to defund themselves. Why are they getting our money? Why are they getting our taxpayer dollars for this? This is so stupid. What is the definition? Well, it depends on what the definition of is. This is what that is. That's so embarrassing. The whole point of the story was to make Neil Gorsuch look like he was a bad guy. And then they wanted to, you know, kind of make up these details to support that point. And Nina Totenberg, she thinks that she's helping her reputation by continuing to deny this. Except not just her, but the court also speaking for Sotomayor and Gorsuch themselves in the statement with Roberts, they all disagreed with this. And they all said it was not true. I mean, Sotomayor and Gorsuch themselves issued a joint statement stating that, quote, it is false. So Nina Totenberg wrote this story about Gorsuch and Sotomayor, and they disputed it. So apparently, I guess she's not just calling Roberts a liar. She's calling Sotomayor a liar, and she's calling Gorsuch a liar. This is crazy. Why is this the hill that NPR wants to die on, so to speak? Good heavens. It is a stupid story. It's a silly story. And NPR will not let it go. They refuse. And they hope that you just get over it. Again, why are they taxpayer funded? $1 million question. Now, one of the other things too, the Associated Press, they got hammered because they wrote this ridiculous story. Literally, this is what the headline was. Florida could shield whites from discomfort of racist past. It was a bill that they said pushed by Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. They act like he writes bills. He's the governor. He's not in the state legislature. Would prohibit public schools and private businesses from making white people feel discomfort when they teach students or train employees. So I read the language of the bill. And the bill does no such thing. The bill does not bar any business or school from, quote unquote, causing white guilt or discomfort to white people during instruction or training. That's a lie. What the bill does is it literally bars anyone from causing, quote, discomfort or guilt on the basis of race with respect to any race, end quote. So if you go on some rant about, you know, white supremacy, like praising white supremacy, the law's consequence applies to you. Regardless of what you think about free speech, etc., I'm just correcting what they're writing about as it relates to the law. We have more coming up as well. So you want to make sure that you do not miss.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
It's always good to wind down the week together. DanaLash.com. Go up to where it says subscribe. That's how you can access my newsletter, chapter and verse, all good things. March for Life taking place today. And it's cold. I think Steve said it was, what, 17 degrees when you walked? Because he's crazy, walked to work. It is 39 degrees here and I'm dying. The moment it gets below 60 degrees, I can't deal. Cannot deal. So, yeah, the March for Life is taking place. And I'm just curious as to if there's any Fed boys showing up there also. I'm curious. I've been watching videos of things. And then they had, what is it, the... they call them, they're the people who hide their face and they all look like Fed boys, the Patriot Front. Olivia Rondeau has video of it. I don't know if they came in U-Hauls again or not, but they're the ones there with everything covered up. And it just kind of, it's like, stop the cosplay. Just stop the cosplay. But apparently no Antifa's there. So, you know. There was nothing there. I saw a New York Post piece that said Meatloaf was reportedly anti-vaccine mandate before he passed away from coronavirus. Do you realize that he still would have gotten coronavirus even if he had the vaccine because it doesn't prevent transmission? And he had a number of comorbidities and there have been fatalities amongst people who have been vaccinated because they have those comorbidities. So can you guys please stop? Good grief.
By the way,
they don't even know. They just say he was reportedly. Jeez.
You know, we were talking about circle of thirds earlier.
Yes.
We missed one.
Uh-oh. Woo. Who?
John Madden.
When did that happen? The thirds are completed.
A little over a week ago.
Okay. We were talking about rule of threes. So when celebrities pass away, if one celebrity passes away, two more have to go. So yeah, that's right. John Madden. So we have Betty White, Bob Saget, Sidney Poitier, Louis Anderson, Meatloaf, and John Madden. So that's six. Rule of threes. There you go. Okay. We can all exhale. Rule of threes.
No one has to die now.
Nobody else has to die. It's my grandma's rule. It's all her fault. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it is our speaker, Nancy Pelosi. Here she is. She's bragging about how Democrats represent the greatest collection of intellect, integrity, and imagination anywhere. Laughable, but let's hear it.
Under this roof, figuratively or actually, is the greatest collection of intellect, integrity, and imagination for doing the right thing for the American people.
Good God.
I have great confidence in the contiguity of my members.
The contiguity.
All right.
I don't even know what she said there. Okay. There you go,
contiguity
Nance.
Contiguity weed.
She's a South Park episode. All right, folks. That does it for this week. It was so good to start the week out as nice as we did. And, of course, you know, we'll be back with you on Monday. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Have a great weekend, folks.